Welcome, everybody, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast, back for week 5 in the NFL. I am one of your co-hosts, Jimmy Traina, along with MMQB Senior Editor Gary Grameling. Gary, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Jimmy.
And we have Gary's brother, Managing Editor of DRF Sports Forum, Scott Grameling. Scott, how's it going?
Going great.
Now, we're all said it's going great, we're doing well, but we all had losing records last week. 0-2 for yours truly, 1-4 for Gary, 2-3 for Scott. But we get right back on the horse. We were doing well most of the season until last week.
Well, let's point out, you know, we had the Chiefs game at 4.5, and Jimmy, both you and I got it at 3.5. We're still counting it as a loss because on the podcast it was a 4.5-point spread.
It was a loss on the podcast, a win in real life, I'll always take. No offense to the listeners.
I agree. And if the listeners put it in when they put it in, they might have even loaded up on it, put a little extra wampum on it, and, you know, come out with a big one.
Now,
but yeah, I was 2-2 and on sides, 0-1 on totals, and I'm still angry at your guys' Dolphins that they couldn't even put up enough points to get that over 48. But anyway,
Osweiler needed to get the ball in his hands one more time.
Gosh.
Can you imagine? Oh, God. And I will say this. I don't know. By the end of Sunday, I was extremely frustrated, not so much with the losses, but I do feel like these games are almost impossible now. Between just we all know about the roughing the passer penalties, but there are less of them called last week than in the past. But there's just, I mean, nobody plays any defense anymore. Nobody plays any defense anymore. And these games are becoming tougher and tougher to handicap because you can't say, oh, well, this team has a good defense. This team could stop someone. This team could slow someone. Nobody plays defense. It's unbelievable. And when we go through these lines, you'll see in all the totals that everyone knows now that nobody plays defense. So let's get right into it. Week 5, Bears and Bucks on a bye. So we start with the 1 o'clock slate. First game, and this is not attractive, Tennessee, the Titans, giving a field goal on the road to the Bills, who came back down to earth in Green Bay last week after the shocking win at Minnesota. The total, this is, the lowest total on the board it is for the week, 39. Tennessee -3 on the road at Buffalo, total 39. Gary, what do you got?
The 3-1 Titans, by the way, Jimmy.
Yes.
I have a slight lean to the Titans here. Like I said, I get nervous about Josh Allen. Josh Allen can do horrible things. Josh Allen can do really good things over the course of a game. And this is going to be a low-scoring game. The Titans Titans have the slowest offense in the NFL. They, it's smoke and mirrors right now with what they do. Bills play that conservative defense. This is just shaping up to be, another 12-9 type of win here. I just have a slight lean Titans on this, pretty much because you'd expect more bad out of Josh Allen, out of a complex, very tricky, a lot of disguises with this Titans secondary. I think this is going to be overwhelming for the rookie QB.
Titans are coming off that win against the champs, the Eagles. Any letdown for Tennessee? Now, this is a perfect letdown trap game, Scott. What do you got on this?
Yeah, I can't figure out the Titans. I'm starting to get the feeling that they are well coached by Mike Vrabel and his top-notch assistants he has there. And because of that, I can't pick against them going into, you know, a game, even though it's on the road, against, you know, one of the two or three worst teams in the league. That being said, I wouldn't take them on the road. I just don't quite know what this Tennessee Titans team is right now. So I'm passing on that game. I guess if I had to play it, I probably would take the Titans because I've been impressed by him, but it's not a game
very
I
strange,
like.
Too. 2 weeks ago, Mariota is not supposed to play. He's hurt. And then Blaine Gabbert got hurt. They put Mariota in the game. They go beat the Jaguars, and then he played less. So is he? I don't even know what the health status is there. Is he 100%? Is he not 100%? I mean, what's
on top of that?
Titans are weird all around.
Everything they do offensively was based on Delanie Walker. Delanie Walker is out.
Right.
So what they're doing right now, it really is smoke and mirrors. Mariota played out of his mind last week,
right,
by the way. He's never played like that. I don't know if he'll ever play like that again this season. But, it's a team that's not going to score a lot of points.
And we go to a game featuring two teams coming off losses, one really bad. The Steelers at home giving 3 off their Sunday night loss to the Ravens. They're giving 3 to the Falcons, who keep finding ways to lose. They terrible one against the Bengals on the last play of the game.
Terrible.
Here's where we're talking about with the defenses. Total here, 57. You think Pittsburgh in defense? Nope. Steelers at home, -3 to the Falcons. Total 57. Scott.
Yeah, Falcons burned me last week. That was one of my two against the spread losses. I lost on the Chiefs because we had it 4.5, and I lost on the Falcons there on that last play of the game. This is a tough game for me to call. I just don't know. I think 3 is about the right number. Jimmy, I think you made a good point at the top of the broadcast that it's so hard when these teams are playing such poor defense.
The Falcons can't stop anybody. I mean, that was embarrassing.
Neither can the Steelers.
Right.
You know, yep. Giving up that 26 points to the Ravens, I'm sorry. Like, you know, that's usually one of those rivalry-type games that ends up being played at, like, 17-14. You know, more recently, it's been higher scoring. And certainly last year, the game they played at Pittsburgh was. But, yeah, I don't know what to expect here. If I had to play it, I would play the Falcons here. I really think the Steelers are an absolute mess on both sides of the ball. And, you know, I know fantasy players out there were kind of you know, touting like, oh, James Conner, not that big of a drop-off from Le'Veon Bell. I mean, nothing could be further from the truth.
Right.
It just allows opposing defenses to play over the top of Antonio Brown. I mean, as bad as the Steelers' defense has been, and it has been bad, they've given up 27 points and then 26, and before that they gave up all the points to the Chiefs. That offense has not scored a point in the second half of games, each of the last two games, including one of them against the Buccaneers. Everybody's scoring on the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
So, again, if I had to play, there's just – I can't find that many reasons to take the Steelers here. That being said, I don't think I can go again. I can't go with the Falcons because I could see this being a 38-24 type game in favor of the Steelers.
I think your point is so excellent there. The Steeler defense has been atrocious, but their offense has been even worse. They have not been able to light it up with all that talent they do have on offense. Gary, what do you got on this one?
No, the new running game in Pittsburgh is the short passes to Ryan Switzer. So that's why you miss Le'Veon Bell. I'm with Scott. This is a difficult game to pick. I'm leaning Steelers at home coming off the upset loss here. I think when it boils down to it, I think both teams are just going to sit back. You saw the Steelers do it on Sunday night. Completely conservative. I don't know if they're going to give up a ton of points in this game. I don't know if this is going to hit the over. I'd lean under on this game as well.
57 is it?
I think you're going to see both defenses sort of sit back and sort of a lot of long, sustained drives, a lot of third down conversions, and do it that way and wait for the other side to make a mistake. I think that plays in the Steelers' favor a little bit more when they're at home with Ben. But yeah, this one's tough to call. I'll lean Steelers and I'll go under on this one too.
All right. Next game, the Jets, who have not won since the opener when they knew Detroit's plays on defense, giving a point at home to the Broncos, who are coming off a short week and B, a really, really tough loss to the Chiefs. Total 42.5. You would think the Jets maybe get right in this one as, you know, Denver after that Chiefs loss short week. This is if not now, when for the Jets? Gary, what do you got?
Well, I'm going to continue to stay away from Denver on the road here. I mean, they have been atrocious on the road for now the last 9 games under Vance Joseph here. So I'm going Jets on this one. I don't necessarily think the Broncos should be giving any points anywhere at this point, unless
you're
talking about
Jets
maybe
are
like
minus one. Jets minus one.
Or sorry, I don't think the Broncos should be giving less than a field goal. But right. I always do in my head, I always do the, you know, take it with 3 points for the
okay.
home field advantage type of deal. Sorry about that. I don't think the Broncos should be given less than a field goal anywhere, unless it's maybe Arizona or Buffalo at this point. But Scott, this is your, you had the road team coming off the Monday night trend that you like.
Correct. We'll wait for that later in the show.
The one thing in this, Keenum played better last week than he had most of the season. Now the Chiefs defense is nothing to write home about either, so I don't know if that's the factor there. But you have Denver going into the Jets.
It just is. It's an ugly game. Yeah. I don't like either of these teams. Neither of these teams has shown me anything that leads me to want to put any money on either of them. And I just really don't have that much more to say about it.
I'm with you right there.
I would love to pick against and bet against the Broncos on the road, but not with the Jets, the way they've been playing.
Well, here's the thing. The Jets, the rookie quarterback is shown to be a rookie, number one. The coach can't coach the game. It's another situation where he's fine Saturday through Monday. The game starts, he can't coach. He doesn't know. He's punting with 4 minutes left. He's kicking field goals when he shouldn't be kicking. And the discipline is not there. The penalties the Jets take are ridiculous.
Right. They won the turnover battle against the Jaguars 3-0 when you win a turnover battle 3-0 in the NFL, you should not be losing games by 19 right. points against a team that the prior week had scored 6 points.
Yep. All right, enough about that pig of a game. Let's get to a real game here. The Jaguars go into KC. Let's see now if Scott's, if he's got a little sting about the Chiefs if they didn't cover last week.
They covered in real life, right. Not on the podcast.
So the Chiefs, though, now again, very nice here. Chiefs at home are only giving a field goal. You got to love that. Total 48.5, which is lower for a Chief game, but that's because of the Jaguar defense. Scott, your Chiefs only giving a field goal to the Jaguars.
I love the Jaguars in this spot.
Oh, my God. What?
Yeah.
I'm shook.
I know. I know it.
I'm rattled.
This is a tough, tough spot for the Chiefs here. And goes back to what we talked about last week, right? The road team coming off of Monday night. And last week it was the Steelers, and the Steelers laid an egg. And it's not just a sample size of one. When you go back and you look, you know, last season, and I won't go into it as much in depth as I did. That podcast is in the archives. You can dig it up from last week. But, teams playing on a Sunday after having been on the road the previous Monday night last season were 5-11 straight up, 4-12 against the spread. We went through the games last week. Again, you can look it up. The wins were against horrible, horrible teams. I feel like playing in the thin air, coming off the short week, going up against that defense that's fast and physical, I think the Chiefs will have finally met their match going up against the Jaguars here. I love the Jaguars getting the 3 points. I love them to win it outright. It pains me to do it. You know, it's all about matchups in the NFL, and it's all about the timing of those matchups. And, just look, the Chiefs have been dominant inside the division, not so much outside the division recently. They're 2-10 against the spread at home against the AFC South since the start of 2007. I just feel like it's just not a good spot against a very tough defense. And again, it kind of pains me to say. A mutual friend of all of ours, Mr. Jacob Luft, we have a new saying now. When we were for games that we would lose on Saturday, it's like, oh, well, going to have to bet more on the Chiefs now. not this week. I'm telling you, this week.
I can't believe we have a traitor on the podcast. I mean, Gary stuck with the Cardinals and Lions after they stunk it up the first few weeks, and you're ready
with
the Chief band.
Timing and matchups. That's what it's all
Gary,
about.
Gary?
No, I'm in full agreement. I knew that was coming. I'm a convert now to the road team coming off Monday night. I never should have doubted you, bro. On top of that, Chiefs can't stop anyone defensively. I did not think Case Keenum was very good on Monday night. There were some like 4-for-14 on third and fourth downs. You can't do that against. It was third and mediums. It wasn't a lot of third and long situations. They can't stop the run. I don't think Bortles necessarily has to be a superstar here. You could get a touch of bad Bortles, and the Jaguars could still win this game. That's you don't want a touch of bad Bortles.
Yeah. Can you go to your local pharmacy?
You're going to be on the toilet all day if you get a touch of bad Bortles.
Yes. I can't. The Chiefs are at home giving 3 with that offense. I'm going to take it again and with confidence. Listen, I know the Jaguar defense is good. It's very good. It might be the best in the league. That offense cannot keep up with the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs will still score points. I don't think that defense will stop the Chiefs. I don't care about this home road. It's Patrick Mahomes and a bunch of weapons. And I will, if I'm only laying 3, I'm not passing that up. But we'll see which who's right, me or the traitors.
Jimmy, I so wish I was with you here. We had such
Blake
a fun
Bortles
Chiefs
is going to go
September.
Into Kansas City and keep up with the Chiefs offense. I don't see it, especially Mahomes playing the way he. Oh God, I'm laying 3. Please sign me up. All right, another decent game, not as good as Jacksonville KC, but not bad. Packers go into Detroit. Green Bay favored on the road here, giving only 1.5 to the Lions coming off that loss in Dallas. Again, a big total in the 50s. 51 is your over-under. I thought that was a tad high only because the Lion offense has not done much this year, but you have that, you're in a dome with Aaron Rodgers, so you could see maybe some points being scored here. Scott, what do you got on Green Bay giving 1.5 at Detroit?
I kind of feel like the wrong team is favored here. I really do. I feel like... you can't really read much into Green Bay's win over Buffalo, right? And then all of a sudden now Minnesota, that tie game they had at home against Minnesota, doesn't look as impressive with what the Vikings have done recently. Packers went in and lost that game to the Redskins on the road. Packers haven't been a great road team in the past couple of seasons, and I just think that this is I think it's a pair of pretty evenly matched teams, so if I'm getting a point at home, I feel like I have to take it, and that's what I'm doing here.
Gary?
No, I agree, and for the record, I did pick against the Lions last week. I did have Dallas down there against the Lions, but Lions are moving the ball offensively. They're just... they're not putting up points right now.
Right. They ran the ball great against Dallas, too.
They ran it well. I think you need to see more Kerryon Johnson because at some point you just have to. Jim Bob Cooter, you got to save your job at some point and get LeGarrette Blount off the field. But, 26 points 2 weeks ago, 24 last week. It feels like they scored more. They moved the ball. They don't turn it over. I'm with Scott on this one for the reasons he said. I like the Lions at home overall. I never like the Packers at home that much. I think the Lions should – this feels like more like a pick'em game, if anything.
Yeah.
And that's even if you're not a Lions super fan like I am.
Packers 8-11 against the spread on the road since the start of 2016.
That's really Aaron Rodgers minus a point and a half, not the Packers, I think. They give Rodgers that respect there. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to think about this game. I wouldn't be surprised if either team won it. Lions coming off that loss in Dallas, I could see a little bounce back at home against the Packers, motivated, but not a game I would touch. All right, next game as we continue through the 1 o'clock slate. My favorite team this year, the Browns, who I can spend an hour on this podcast talking about what the refs did to them last week. I won't do it, but I mean, my God, there's less screwing on Pornhub than what took place in Oakland last week. I mean, the refs stole this game from the Browns. It was a Browns win. And it is a disgrace that there was no – I had the money line. I mean
– no wonder you're a little salty coming in. This.
You're overturning a spot that you called short. I mean, whatever. Anyway, the Ravens blow out the Steelers. They go into Cleveland. They're giving a field goal. Total here, 47. Do the Browns pull off a home upset?
See, I hate these Browns games just because we still don't know exactly what Baker Mayfield's going to be going forward. I think you're going to have a lot of volatility here with him. I'm leaning Ravens in this one. I always check every once in a while what I think are the two flukiest stats in professional football. One is fumble recovery rate. That is, I mean, that's been statistically proven over the years to be completely random. Everyone should hover around 50-50. It's not a skill to recover fumbles. You can say it's a skill to not fumble or to force fumbles, but to recover fumbles, that's a 50-50 proposition for everyone. And I also look at opponent missed field goals. Right now, the Browns are they have recovered 14 of the 16 fumbles in their games.
Wow.
And then they lead the league in opponent field goals missed, which is 4.
Well, it should have been 15 out of 17 because they recovered a David Carr fumble at the refs end with a whistle.
They did. So, you know, it's one of those things where you'll hear the commentators like, oh, they're scrappy. They get on those fumbles. It's like, no, that's just that's fluke city right there. No one since 76 has gotten more than 71% over the course of a season, so they're up in the 80s right now. That's a fluke. They're picking up basically a possession a game so far, and on top of that, they're getting, you know, a point or two a game from these missed field goals. All that said, again, Baker Mayfield can at his heights, he will put up points. I am leading the Ravens on this one just based on that cold hard logic of the Browns have. I know everyone will talk about the ridiculous call at the end of the game and the overturn. But the cold, hard logic points to a Browns team that has gotten a lot of breaks over the first 4 weeks of the year.
Well, I'll say this, too. You know, you go through the numbers, you analyze this, you're looking for any little sort of nugget, you're looking for any angle. But sometimes you got to clear the deck and just go with what you know and what is reality. And what we all knew last year, before this year, and at the start of this year, and maybe I sort of forgot in it because I'm so into Baker Mayfield, and I love this team. Hugh Jackson is a god-awful coach. And, you know, they got up in that game. Chubb had a touchdown. Again, now Nick Chubb, how he only had 3 carries last week. Again, Hugh Jackson, what are you doing? And then, you know, so they get up with about a minute and 33 left. And all Hugh Jackson wants to do there is run 3 times, dive middle. So Oakland uses its 3 timeouts instead of getting a first down to win the game.
So a team that doesn't know how to play with the lead.
Exactly. Yeah. So on top of, you got all this, you know, there's a the Browns are kind of in anarchy right now because they have Mayfield in there now, and the, you know, the Josh Gordon thing. They're trying, you know, now here's Nick Chubb, and they're trying to get everything settled. The coach is still terrible, so it should always make you a little bit nervous when you are making a financial investment on them. So be careful, Scott. What do you got on this game?
I like the Browns here. I really do. I think there's value in Cleveland this week in this matchup against the Ravens. I feel like this line is a little bit of an overreaction to how well the Ravens have played in recent weeks. A betting system I was able to dig up. So teams that are outscoring opponents by 10 or more points per game, which the Ravens are doing, when coming off back-to-back games of allowing 14 or fewer points, 2-14 against the spread since the start of 2014. And I think what that demonstrates is a bit of overreaction to a team that's been dominant at times this season. And the times they've been dominant were, opening up the season against Buffalo. They looked dominant certainly in the second half against Pittsburgh. But this is also a team that went on the road in week two on that Thursday night and looked far less than dominant against what's turned out to be a decent Bengals team, but to me that's where I feel like Baltimore is a bit vulnerable. I also like over 47 in this game. I do think there's going to be some points scored in this game, so that's the way I'm going with this stuff. And the other game the Ravens have played have been against the Broncos, and we've seen how that's
and the
panned
Bills,
out.
I want to pick the Browns so bad in this game, but I think that loss last week was so bad I could see some hangover and lingering effect. Now listen, I'd love to go against the Ravens because they're coming off a big Sunday night win on the road.
Against a rival.
Yeah, so you feel a little bit let down there, but that was a gut punch for the Browns to lose that game last week. So I got to be careful and stay away from it. We now go to Carolina. They're coming off a bye, giving a touchdown to the inept Giants. Total 44.5. 7, you would think, is high with the Giants, but I guess now people just have no confidence in them scoring any points. Scott?
This is a tough spot for the Giants. I mean, this is a tough schedule. Everybody, all these Giants fans are complaining the fact that 1-3, they haven't been favored in any games. So, if they're playing the way everybody expects them to play, they'd be 0-4 going on 0-5. I know that's not the way the world works, but I just feel like this is another really tough spot. You got Carolina coming off the bye. They're 3-0 both straight up and against the spread coming off the bye the last 3 years. At home, they've been a tough team. The teams that have given the Panthers the most trouble in Charlotte have been teams in the division. Teams are familiar with them. Outside the division at home, Panthers 16-3 straight up, 14-4-1 against the spread since the start of 2015. This is, to me, just a really tough spot. You look at the Giants, and I know a lot's being made about this Giants offense, and rightly so, but, look at the defense, too. Like, the run defense isn't that good. And when you look at Giants, one of only seven teams allowing an average of more than 4.7 yards per rushing attempt this season. Since Ron Rivera took over as Carolina's head coach prior to the start of 2011, Panthers are 19-10 against the spread against opponents that are allowing at least 4.5 yards per rushing attempt. I think the matchup here just leans so many ways to me to the Panthers. I know seven's a lot of points. In those games I mentioned against the weak rushing defenses, the Panthers are averaging 30 points per game over those 29 games. And that's a large sample size. And with a team that you don't really associate with scoring a lot of points. And the problem with, a team the Giants are going up against scoring 30 points, Giants haven't reached 30 points in a game since Tom Coughlin was head coach. So I think for all those reasons, it's I was looking for reasons to take the Giants here just because I feel like they should be better than what they've been to this point. But I think the line at 7 seems right. And on the surface, you look at it, it's like, well, that's too many points. When you really dig deep in this game, it might not be enough.
Yeah, I think the Panthers definitely win the game. It's just a matter of whether they cover 7. You would think with the Giant offense being so bad they could cover the 7, but then again the Giants, then they had that game in Houston 2 weeks ago, they show up. I think Carolina covers the 7 here, Gary.
Yeah, I mean the thing that bothers me more is I mean, gosh, Eli has become, I don't know if he's shell-shocked or just he is absurdly conservative as a quarterback all of a sudden. That was never his MO. Even if you didn't like Eli back in the day, it was because you would have the occasional boneheaded interception that you just couldn't understand. But he's almost like tie-rodding it back there.
Nothing
at this
downfield.
Point with the conservative play. Mm-hmm. I'm leaning Giants here just because I do think the run defense is better than the numbers bear out to this point. They had to go down to Dallas. Jacksonville can run the ball. Saints have one of the best rushing offenses in the league. It's not a confident lean towards the Giants, but it's a lean towards the Giants just because I think the number is big.
I like now that Carolina's going all in on McCaffrey. I think he had 100%. He was in 100% of the snaps in that one game, their last game before the bye. But are you not
Bengals?
Yeah, the Bengals. Yep. Are you not sold yet on?
I'm not sold on their run game. Their run game stems so much from what Cam brings to it. It's a rough spot, and I do want to mention Norv Turner said all off season, McCaffrey's going to get 25 to 30 touches a game, and everyone pointed and laughed at him. He's a man of his word.
Right.
Norv tells the truth,
and I think that's the way to go for this team because he seems to get better as the game goes on. So. I think McCaffrey and the Panthers off a bye can make it a long day for the Giants. Last 1 o'clock game, another big total here. Bengals at home after that crazy win against the Falcons. They're giving 6 points to the Dolphins, who didn't show up in New England last week. Total 49 in a Dolphin game where last week they couldn't have scored against a middle school team, and the total's 49.5. Gary.
I'm leaning Dolphins in this game, and I'm a little bit gun-shy after last week, and really I think the Dolphins went into New England and they had a game plan to exploit the Patriots the same way the Lions had the previous week, and when it didn't work early, they got punched in the mouth and they sort of packed up and went home and sent Brock Osweiler out there to mop up and moved on with their lives.
I mean, listen, in the first half of that game, the Dolphins, forget scoring a point, they couldn't get a yard, but what I found really shocking was they couldn't stop Sonny Michel and James White. I mean, you would have thought it was Barry Sanders and Emmitt Smith back there for the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, Dolphins aren't a great run defense, and Patriots can run the ball when they want to. They get those two backs in there. They get Michel behind Devlin. They can do something.
They demoralized Miami last week running the ball.
I'll say the main reason, I love talking about Adam Gase, and I'm wearing an Adam Gase polo, and I love all things Gase. But I do want to talk about the Bengals for a second. I do wonder about this offense because, look, there were issues last year on the offensive line. They drafted a guy in the first round who's currently injured. They brought in Cordy Glenn, who hasn't been great. They sort of had these journeymen. I mean, Bobby Hart, Giants fans remember Bobby Hart. Bobby Hart can block anyone for the Giants, and Bobby Hart's serviceable. He's not a star, but he's been good this year. And I just kind of wonder how much of this is a result of going up against, they went up against Atlanta last week, obviously. They played Baltimore on a Thursday night. Baltimore lost C.J. Mosley in that game, and that's when the wheels kind of came off for that team. It's a Thursday night short turnaround at home against the Ravens. Anyway, Ravens lose their signal caller on defense. It's a different defense at that point. So I'm a little suspect about the Bengals' offense and therefore about the six-point spread here. So I'm pretty firm
on
the Dolphins.
I'm with you. I'm going right back to the Dolphins. I'm not going to jump off because of one loss to the Patriots. And, again, just, I'll look at it this way. You know, Adam Gase was getting a lot of attention this year. He had them doing some funky things on offense. Okay, he went in and he lost to Belichick. Now he's going to face Marvin Lewis. I like the matchup. Scott?
Yeah, I was never on the Dolphins bandwagon with you guys. I think this is the right number. I think six is the right number. To the point, if it was 7.5, I would like the Dolphins here. If it was 4.5, I would like the Bengals here. I think that's right where it should be. So I'm not playing the game. If I had to play it, I would take the Dolphins because of the points, but I wouldn't be doing that with any kind of confidence.
All right, first 4 o'clock game, we have the Chargers giving 6 points to the Raiders, who got their first win last week when the refs bet Oakland against Cleveland. Total 53.5.
Salty.
Another total through the roof. 53.5. We talked earlier about Tennessee, especially Gary. I don't know if there's a team I have less of a read on than the Chargers this year. I know they have the two running backs, but I have no feel for the Chargers this year. And the Raiders, like I said, they should be winless except the refs gave them the game. Scott?
No, I have a read on the Chargers. It's the same read I've had for years, that they're an overrated team because you look at the talent and you think they should be better, but they don't have great coaching. They're always horrible on special teams. And yeah, I think because of that, I like the Raiders in this spot here. I don't believe in the Chargers. And every week when the lines come out, I'm surprised at how much it leans toward the Chargers in thinking that they're a good team, you know, starting right from the season opener when they were somehow laying points to the Chiefs and, you know, given double digits last week, they win the game by two. I think there's value here in the Raiders.
Gary?
No, I like the Chargers against bad opponents. Of course, you saw last week they can't cover against the 49ers. That game also included a pick six and included an 83-yard catch and run to George Kittle. But then again, that's what the Chargers do.
Exactly.
They gave up these ridiculous plays. And by the way, I want to jump on it because it's kind of an inside joke among the MMQB staff at this point, the Chargers special teams and how. I mean, look, it's kind of hilariously bad at this point. We talk about it every week, and then we watch the Chargers, and they give up a 90-yard punt return, or they flub a hold or something like that. I'm not going to specify the grading service, but there's a grading service that had them as, like, massive advantage over the 49ers in special teams. We were passing that around on the staff, and it was pretty entertaining because it just made no sense.
So that service is garbage.
It was as appalling a greatest I've ever seen on a unit. It's a service that's pretty good otherwise, but that was no good. I'm leaning Chargers here just with Oakland coming off the overtime game. And on top of that, again, Chargers against bad teams. And I think the Raiders, I think Gruden's been fine from a coaching standpoint this year. I think Paul Gunther on the other side had some issues against Cleveland last week, just getting 11 players on the field. 11 players is what you put on the field, Oakland Raiders, when you're on defense. But yeah, I think that team is still just under-talented, and I think the Chargers have enough to cover a less than a touchdown spread here.
I'm with Scott here. I like the Raiders plus six. I actually like them a lot just because I think this is one of those, you know, who has the ball last kind of games. You know,
field
goal,
like it, right?
Pick six at the end, crazy finish. I don't see big separation at all throughout this game. One thing I saw from the Raiders that – I thought it was a little concerning last week against the Browns, is the Browns couldn't stop Marshawn Lynch, and the Raiders just basically stopped using him. And the Raiders had the ball a couple of times inside the five, and they're throwing fades, and they're throwing. I mean, where's Marshawn Lynch? He disappears for big chunks at a time, which is bizarre to me. Having said that, I do think Gruden's got the team rolling a little bit on the offense, so I would definitely take the 6 points there. We go now to they're going to be a rough one to watch. Good luck if you're tuning into this one. The Niners, who did play decent with C.J. Beathard last week, but again against the Chargers. Niners at home giving 4 to Gary's Arizona Cardinals coming off their loss to the Seahawks. You want to?
I'll just say this is not an entertaining
loss,
aside,
but a cover.
Loss, but a cover. I lost in my my rec league basketball game championship, and I always have a pile of T-shirts I just have in my duffel bag. So after we lost the game, I just grabbed the first T-shirt. What was it? Arizona Cardinals.
There you go.
Gotta put
support
this one
Josh
on.
Rosen.
Speaking of Josh Rosen, I love Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen was excellent last week in the debut. Larry Fitzgerald played probably the worst game of his career, had a couple of drops. J.J. Nelson had a walk-in touchdown that he dropped. I think Rosen is... I've been burned. I don't want to necessarily put both feet back on the Cardinals bandwagon here, but I think Rosen makes this let's call it a D grade type of team as opposed to the F grade type of team they were.
Do you
Sam
like
Bradford.
Getting 4 points?
I like getting 4 points at San Francisco. Again, you know, the 49ers picked up. They got a pick six. They got the 83-yard catch and run to their tight end in Los Angeles last week. I don't think they can have any sort of sustained offense with C.J. Beathard. And you know, hey, Beathard was – I love watching Beathard because he sacrifices his body like no quarterback should. And if you're ever going to project an in-game injury for a quarterback, I think it would have to be C.J. Beathard. But I don't think the 49ers are better than the Cardinals. And you know, Arizona with a superior quarterback getting 4 points here. This is a strong Cardinals pick for me.
Strong Cardinals pick. All right, Scott.
You know, I was kind of undecided on this game until I knew that Gary pulled a Cardinals T-shirt out of his duffel bag. What When did you acquire that?
When I used to travel around, I used to, whoever the local team was, I just
Neil Lomax years.
I have a San Diego Chargers T-shirt I wear somewhere. I got some good ones.
Great. I think it's too many points. I'm with it. This just has the feeling of one of these stinker, 20-18, 23-21, maybe even up there as high as, dare I say, 24-21. It's too many points to be giving for a team. Give the 49ers credit for going in and taking advantage of what one scouting service calls one of the best special teams in the league last week. But I just feel like, to me, this is a pick'em game, and if you're getting 4.5, I think you have to take it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. If I had to put money on this game, I'd go with the over, just because I would take a chance on some pick sixes with the two
I like
quarterbacks.
The over a lot.
Yeah, and just seems like a weird game there with a lot of nothing great there. So you maybe get some points.
I think it's a low total,
and it's low. Yeah, that's.
And there are a lot of betting systems that kind of really skew toward the over coming in on this one, and I think that's the way to go. That's a great point there, Jimmy.
Also at 425, the red hot, actually white hot, Los Angeles Rams giving a touchdown in Seattle. Big total here, 50.5. Now you think big total 50.5? Actually, that's low for a Rams game, but the Rams are giving a touch. Mm-hmm. In Seattle, Scott.
Low for a Rams game, high for a game in Seattle.
Yeah, absolutely.
I actually would like to know the last time a total was over 50 points a game played
that's
in Seattle.
That's a while ago.
Yeah. I don't know who's going to cover anybody from the Seattle secondary. And as much as I hate giving a touchdown on the road, this is one of the top three, maybe two, maybe one team in the league going up against a team that we had questions about going into the season, and now they lost Earl Thomas. And it's a huge loss, not just because of what Thomas is, but because of how little they had already. So to me, I think this is a big win for the Rams here. I just don't see how Seattle's going to be able to stop. And you also throw in the fact that the Rams are coming off the previous Thursday night game. So, there they have an advantage with the extra rest. But, the last time the Rams went up to Seattle was last December. They won 42-7. I don't think they're going to win 42-7, but I could see this being a 34-17 type of game.
Yeah, I'm fascinated now to find out the last time a game in Seattle where the total was 50. That's a very good point. Gary, Rams minus the touchdown in Seattle.
Yeah, who's going to stop the Rams, and how are the Seahawks going to score points here? Last five games against the Rams, and this is going back to the Jeff Fisher era there for L.A. / St. Louis. 17 points, 3 points, 24 points, 16 points, 7 points. That's Seattle's output. That's not going to do it. This Rams offense is as good as an offense as we've seen since maybe the Kyle Shanahan Falcons. It's early to make that call. Obviously, it's only been a month, but I don't see how the Seahawks possibly keep up here. And 7 is too low. I know no one wants to go too far against the Seahawks in Seattle, but 7's not enough here.
Make it 3-for-3. I will gladly lay the 7 and have no doubts about it. They will. The Seahawks will have a long day in this one. You cannot stop that offense right now.
You can't slice it any way like the Seahawks in this game. You just can't.
All right, last 4 o'clock game. This is the main 425 Fox game, Buck and Aikman. Eagles at home, struggling this year, even with Wentz back, giving a field goal to the Vikings, struggling as well. Total 45. Gary.
Gosh, I'm leaning Vikings on this game, but you got to be nervous about this team right now. And we can look back and say, okay, Rams short week, that happens. But this team has played now 3 duds in 5 weeks, and you could argue even 4 duds if they don't come back and they don't get the Clay Matthews roughing call and come back and tie the Packers in Green Bay there. So, I think they've just had 10 days to get it right. That Eagles offense still a little bit limited with what they do. They're kind of slow at the skill positions too. I don't know if this is I know Nick Foles torched this defense last January. I just, even with Wentz playing at, let's say, 90% of Wentz or whatever he's at right now, I don't think they can replicate that. This is a tough call, but I'm leading Minnesota, and also I love Kirk Cousins, the way he's been playing, going against an Eagles defense that people don't realize how good Rodney McLeod was for the back end when they have those sort of, well, let's just call them kind of crappy cornerbacks in Philadelphia there. I think the Eagles are going to give some big plays here. I think that's the difference in this one.
Scott?
I really like the Vikings a lot in this game. I feel they win the game outright here. Cousins has performed well against the Eagles during his time with the Redskins and in Philadelphia as well. 5-2 against the spread in Philadelphia when he was with the Redskins. I'm sorry, 5-2 against the spread against the Eagles when he was with the Redskins. I think the extra week at this point in the season, sorry, the extra time, essentially the week and a half coming off the Thursday game, I think that makes a difference. And I just feel like the Eagles' offense is in mid-preseason form, as you would expect it to be, with Carson Wentz now going to be playing his third game, Alshon Jeffrey now going to be playing his second game. I just feel like this Vikings team is too talented on both sides of the ball. We don't know what happened in Buffalo. We do have a sense of what happened in Los Angeles against the Rams, and what happened was the Rams. Mm-hmm. And the Vikings, for the most part, kind of kept pace with him in that game. And I feel like this is a spot here where I like the Vikings an awful lot.
Yeah, I don't know where to go for the side. You guys both obviously like the Vikings. I'm not quite there. But despite the Eagles' struggles on offense this year, I do like the over 45 for this reason. Again, no one plays defense anymore. And shockingly, that includes the Vikings. The Bills lit them up. The Rams lit them up. I mean, yeah, you're going to get lit up by the Rams. But again, the Viking defense this year has not been what it was last year.
Packers lit them up too, and the Packers haven't been great offensively.
Right. And now,
that's a good point.
And I've said here for 2 weeks, okay, Wentz is back. It's going to be the comeback week. It's got to happen sooner or later. He's talented enough where it's got to happen sooner or later. I'll take my chances it happens this week, and I would go over. Neither team has stopped anyone all year, so just for that reason. And you have 45 here, which is, you know, this year, that's a low total. All right, let's go to prime time, Sunday. Sunday night, all eyes on Dallas. Although I don't think this is really a great game. The Cowboys giving a field goal to the Texans, who got their first win last week, after Frank Reich decided to get crazy. Scott, Cowboys -3 at Texans. I mean, yeah, it's a road game, but not really. What do you think?
Yeah, this game's too tough to call. I don't know which way to go here. And, you know, 3 points on the road means it's essentially, you know, a game that we pick them neutral site. That's the way I think this is going to be. If I had to pick it, I would take Dallas here. I just feel like the Cowboys' running game can control it. I think, you know, I've kind of contended for a while here that this Texans defense is a bit overrated, and they continue to show that. You know, J.J. Watt will rack up some sacks every now and then, but I think for the most part, vulnerable against the run, that entire defense is. So if I had to play it, I would pick the Cowboys, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the Texans win this game, you know, along the lines of 28-17 or something. So it's one I'm staying away from.
This has nothing to do with betting, but I did see a crazy stat. I mean, J.J. Watt basically has the same numbers this year in terms of sacks and forced fumbles as Khalil Mack, and everyone is basically, you know, fainting over Khalil Mack, and Watt's doing it off of 2 years missed, basically, after those surgeries.
But he also just did it in that one game. It was against that Giants offensive line.
Last week. And last week, too, he had a big game.
Right, right.
So,
but he had the 3 sacks against the Giants.
Right.
And it's a game that they, you know, were losing by 12 points until 1 second to go.
I just wonder if and he's, you know, he has said he's not even 100% yet, so I don't know. Maybe I think the best is still to come for the Texans. I don't know if that's this week. Gary, what do you got on this?
Well, I think their issue, and I think Scott can take away the a bit out of the Texans are a bit overrated on defense. Clowney's sort of coming around. Merciless is not what he was quite yet. I mean, those are the big three right there. Watts, maybe not what Watt was. He's still dominant. That said, they can't cover anyone. However, if you can't cover anyone, it's nice to see this Cowboys receiving core come to town. That's why I'm kind of leaning the Texans on the matchup here. And you know, again, it's a field goal spread. They're at home. Deshaun Watson can put up points. I'm leaning Houston in this one.
I'd lean Houston, too. I think the Cowboys, that offense is just the one team in the league who cannot score points seems to be. I mean, listen, they scored points last week, but no weapons there. And against a good defense, I could see that being a Texans win at home. They still haven't won a home game. That win last week was in Indy. Last game of the week, Monday night, big total here. The Saints at home giving 6 points to the visiting Redskins, total 52.5. Gary.
Yeah, I always hate picking these Redskins game because they're so game flow dependent. If they score a touchdown on their opening drive, it completely changes how the game is going to play out. That said, I think this is a week where they miss Kirk Cousins and they miss the fact that Cousins could be bad, but Cousins could be really good too, and that's what he was in New Orleans last year. When you have Alex Smith, you are playing conservative. I think it makes it difficult for them to keep up with the Saints. And I know it's not very good analysis, but you know, Drew Brees has that all-time passing yardage record.
ESPN,
in the sights.
They tried to sell that so hard on Monday night. No one's tuning in to see that. I'm sorry.
I think the Saints are going to just let him open it up and throw it and try and get that record early. I think he needs 200 to get there. So they'll sort of try and get that out of the way, and they'll take advantage of what's a pretty shaky back end for the Redskins. It's not a terrible one, but pretty shaky.
Yep. Scott?
I like the Saints here a lot. Before I get into this, though, I've been multitasking over the last 10 minutes, and I found the last time there was an over over 50
in Seattle,
and it was in the playoffs against the St. Louis Rams on January 8th, 2005.
Wow. 2005. Wait, is that the Mike Martz, Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt Rams, Marshall Faulk?
Going, but who was the quarterback?
Oh, Kurt Warner.
No. Mark Bolger.
Oh, good grief.
And the game went under the total. It was Rams 27,
wow,
Seahawks 20.
That's a great nugget right there.
That was the last time a total was over 50 in a game played in Seattle.
What do you think of that? The total of 52.5 in New Orleans and Washington on Monday night.
If I had to play it, I would go over. Yeah. But I do like the Saints here. I'm surprised that the number's sticking under 7. I do think there's a lot going for the Saints here. I think they've kind of righted the ship a little bit after that shaky start, as they've tended to do in recent seasons. October games, the Saints are 9-0-1 against the spread over the past couple of seasons. I think Gary really hit on a lot of good points here, where I just don't see this Redskins team being one that's going to be able to keep up with the Saints if the Saints are doing the kind of things they're capable of doing.
I thought you just made an excellent point. I'm shocked this line is under 7.
I am too.
And that tells you,
and it makes you
careful.
It makes
and like a dope, I think, you would think, okay, that means take, New Orleans minus 6, I'll probably bet the over. All right, so those are the games for Week 5. Let's get to the best bets. Let's start with Scott. How many you got this week?
You know, I'm going to play three sides, and I'm going to play two totals.
All right, so a 5-pack from Scott.
I'm giving you a 5-pack. So I'm going into this week 11-3 on sides, 0-1 on totals. I'm going with Cleveland. I think they're going to win the game outright against the Ravens. I am going with, and I know I'm sticking a dagger in you here, Jimmy, I'm going with Jacksonville getting the 3. I like them to win the game outright in Kansas City. And I'm just realizing now I'm another three-point underdog as I'm taking the Minnesota Vikings. I think they're going to win that game outright. In Philadelphia. Actually, now I'm looking. I think I'm going to parlay those 3 on a money line, and that could be a nice little healthy payout there. I'm taking the over in the Ravens-Browns game, and I'm going to go over in the Cardinals-49ers game with the low total of 41. So those are my 5.
All right, Gary, how many you got?
All right, I got 3 sides here. We'll go New Orleans Monday night, given 6.5. angle, and the Rams giving the 7 in Seattle. But the real headliner here is I'm going Cardinals, getting the +4 at San Francisco, getting on the Josh Rosen bandwagon. He's won me over. And for a total, I'm going under on that Falcons-Steelers game, under 57.
Ooh, I like that.
I think both teams are going to put 6 defensive backs, 15 yards back, and you're going to see a lot of 10 and 12 play drives.
I like that, under 57. I've got 5-4 years. Well, very basic stuff here. Rams -7, just keep riding them. Chiefs -3, I'm not getting off that bandwagon. Raiders +6 against the Chargers. I think that's a close one. Over 52.5 Monday night with the Redskins and the Saints. I think the Saints will light it up, but I don't think their defense is that good. So I think the Redskins could, you know, put up 14, 17, 21, 24, and then you get a cover there with the New Orleans putting up big points. And I'm going to go over 45, Minnesota, Philadelphia. I think, listen, Carson Wentz has to have a game sooner or later. Cousins has been playing, better. He started a little rusty. I just see, like I said at the top, no one plays defense anymore, bet a lot of overs. So I give you 2 overs there with the Vikings, Eagles, and Saints, Redskins, and then the 3 sides, Rams, Raiders, Chiefs. That wraps up week 5 for the MMQB Gambling Podcast. Check out all the podcasts on the MMQB Network every day, except for Tuesday. They have podcasts. Gary's on most of them. So go into the archives there and check it all out. We will see you next week. Take care.
Have a profitable weekend, everybody.
Tip of the hat to Albert, another strong edition of MMQB. Did you know your favorite team has a daily podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network? Steelers fans, we have you covered with Locked On Steelers. Cowboys fans, it's Locked On Cowboys. And Chiefs fans, it's Locked On Chiefs. You get the picture. Search Locked On, your favorite team. Search on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts for Locked On, your favorite team. Or tell your smart speaker to play podcasts Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.